I'm certainly not nihilistic. You know, I'm a optimistic, minimalist anti-hero. I've always liked church music. I'm not a religious person in any way, but I always liked the sound, the acoustics. So when I was at school, a teenager, I would often come home and just listen on a Friday to the church service. Not to listen to the words or the meaning, it was actually the sound of these voices. I didn't even care what the denomination, the religion was. It was actually just the sound. I really loved these live voices in this very big space quite often. And the music I really loved, I was really interested in poetry from the 16th century, Renaissance poetry, John Donne, metaphysical poets, this kind of time. And I got interested in the music of that period as well, early English music in a way, so John Dowland and these composers. So in some sense, I've never left there. Even though most of the music I've made is electronic, I still have always been interested in something more organic, something more real. And so the voice has always been present in whatever work I've made. And so to use my own voice, as I have done recently, has been a sort of revelation in some sense. I sang in the choir at school. I have quite a, not soprano, but quite a high voice when I sing. And realized that pop singers I always liked had high voices. So Robert Wyatt, as a good example, as a singer, was always a favorite of mine. I just love that sweet, melancholic voice. So the voice has always had a presence, always had an appeal for me. There was no particular suggestion of when I arrived to make this piece. I mean, what I'm interested in is responding to a moment. So I've always been intrigued by the idea of live art, of performance art, of performance in all aspects of life, in a sense. I arrived with only one very simple idea, which was to use this recording of a choir that I liked. It was a recording I found years ago in research for another project, and it's a boys' choir recorded in Paris in around the 1930s, singing in a church or in a cathedral, but they are being recorded from outside in the street. So the choir is inside the building. Whoever recorded it is standing in the street and recording it. And it always had such a wonderful atmosphere about it, a wonderful charm. And I decided I wanted to use this in the middle of the piece. And I began thinking about ideas of outside and inside. What is it like to be inside as we are now, talking to each other, and hearing the traffic pass by outside? It may be heard on the microphone, it may be not. Even the sounds around us now become part of this moment. And as John Cage suggested, there's no reason to fake this and pretend we're in a very special high-end studio or anything. Just embrace what's around you and use that as part of your creative process sometimes. So it's quite a liberating thought. So I was interested in the idea of outside and inside. How do we listen from the inside to the outside? And when we're outside, how do we listen to things inside? When you're walking in the street and you hear people in a restaurant partying, or you hear a disco and you just hear the music through the door, or you open your window at home and you hear the radio playing from somebody's building opposite. There's something really quite magical again sometimes about these moments. So I wanted to suggest something of that. The use of the German title was, I like the German language. I studied German at school. I'm working in a language which is German with a more unusual accent in Austria. Why not use German terminology? I mean, it's a huge subject to consider an idea of what spiritualism and what religion could mean to individuals in the future. For many people, it's a guide to life. I mean, all types of religion are, at their simplest, a guidebook to a way of living and responsibility and looking towards others. They're a type of philosophy. They tell good, they tell bad. They make suggestions, some more extremist than others. I've tended to avoid all of them. I don't find anything that fascinates me particularly. There are aspects of song that interest me. I worked recently on an exhibition in the British Library in London, and it was looking at sacred books, looking at the oldest religious books that the British Library might have. And so I started listening to songs from Islam and all kinds of things, Jewish prayers. And again, there's something so beautiful in such a conservative way of putting it, but something so elegant and seductive about these voices, these harmonies, these... Arvo Pärt wrote this piece of music, Tabula Rasa. The phrase tabula rasa is the mind as yet free of impression. So it's as if you have this blank slate. And I think where music and spiritual music can work is when it presents and almost projects this other world onto this blank slate, you know. And for many people, it can offer a guide. My family were never particularly religious. We went to church when I was a teenager, and I actually never understood why. I'm never quite sure. I used to go there and play cards in the basement with my school friends and listen to punk records. The idea of a collective celebration is still ever present in our society. It's just something that changes. Not to use a cliche too much, but the idea of a discotheque or a concert in their own ways offers this celebration. There's something to be said for song, the ability of song to bring people together, to unite. In the last century, it was often national anthems in the theatre. Certainly when I went to the theatre when I was a teenager, they always used to sing the national anthem at the beginning or the end of the theatre piece. And I didn't particularly enjoy it, but there was this moment, almost like a religious experience, that you join inside it. And I think popular events have that ability. But also today, there's a bizarre idea that we can now experience events in real time across the universe. So a concert that looks at the earth, looks at saving people in many ways, can be experienced in real time over countless countries. It's a form of worship, in a way, that you sit often in front of this box, this television, and share this moment with so many other people, you realize you're not experiencing this alone. So, you know, the idea of an experience of a religious, spiritual moment has changed quite a degree. People clearly still go to the traditional models, a church, a chapel, a cathedral, because again, there's still something that this becomes loaded with. It has a shared presence of others believing in one true moment. But I think, you know, we're thankfully in a time when people can adapt and change and not feel restricted. They have to go to a particular location. I was interested in this piece in particular because I was thinking, how do people listen to the radio today? An old-fashioned idea is that you have your radio in the kitchen and you often listen to it, or in the living room. Of course, today many people listen on the internet. But you generally listen to radio from the inside. By that, I mean you're in a car, you're in your apartment, you listen to it on headphones as a podcast or whatever it may be. But it's usually quite internal. And that's what interested me about using sounds beyond that close relationship. So using sounds that are very intimate and domestic and very large exterior sounds of a choir, of the city of Vienna, these kind of moments. So to me, you know, the piece was conceived with that in mind, about how one could listen to radio and what radio can offer to people beyond the idea of a gallery. It offers this intimate relationship, mostly a one-to-one. Radio isn't a very, as far as I can tell, I don't imagine whole families sitting listening to the radio anymore. It's usually individuals listening to something.